We've been looking through parables on Sunday evening, and we're going to look at another one today. Luke chapter 14, we'll read the first 14 verses. Luke chapter 14, verse 14 verses. Let's hear the reading of the Word of God. "And it happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?' But they kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, 'Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?' And they could not make a reply to this. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests, which he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, 'When you are invited by someone to a wedding guest, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, "Give your place to this man." And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your payment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess we do deal with your word here this evening, and it is your word that you have spoken to us in time and space, and you've broken through heaven itself to come and be here even with us this evening. And so help us to understand, help us to love, and help us to obey your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The more parables I study, the more I see how courageous Christ was. It just amazes me. How he confronted the scribes and the Pharisees directly on, just over and over and over. Something that we would probably not have the courage to do. In our parable here this evening in verse 7, he speaks to the invited guests, verse 7. And he began speaking a parable to invited guests. And we see back in verse 1 that he's in the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. And so we have a meeting here of Pharisees and scribes and lawyers and their friends. And here Jesus is in the middle of them. And Jesus sees their arrogance and he speaks directly to them. In their house, in front of all of them, no wonder he was put to death. No wonder they didn't like him. It says, when he noticed, in verse 17, he began speaking a parable to the invited guests, when he noticed that they were picking places of honor. And then he goes on to tell them, this parable, which in some way is it's a parable, but it's a little bit different than most parables because he deals with the situation at hand. He rebukes them for their attitude. Then he goes on and creates just a little bit of a more scenario that he didn't actually see, but could very well happen. So it is a parable. He extends the story to the action of one who invites everyone. And he talked about the potential reseating. We're going to have a reseating here. People sitting in different places in this particular situation. But the parable assumes a culture where seating position corresponds to honor. Particularly, it's a wedding here. And we still do that today, don't we? At a wedding, if you go to a wedding, usually the front seats are marked off for the wedding party, for the family. And it's not, you're not supposed to sit there. Everybody know that? Don't dare sit in the front rows. That belongs to the parents, to the grandparents, to the family. So we still practice that even today. We practice it in other things too. I think anywhere you go, not everywhere, but many places you go, there's a seat of honor or seats of honor. In our capitalistic society, we can get those seats of honor if we pay for them, usually. If you go to the Bristol Raceway, which I've never been to a race, but I think that you could probably have the best seats in the house if you pay enough money. Or you may even get in a skybox seat. That's a really special privileged place to watch the race for very, very important people. If you go to a University of Tennessee basketball game, and you're a common man like me, you'll be put in a seat that's almost up into the clouds. And you really can't even see the players. And you sit there and think, why did I come to this game? I need binoculars to see the players. I got to watch it at home on television. But if you have enough money, I suppose, or enough influence, you can get a courtside seat where you can see everything. So we live in a society where we still recognize this same relationship of physical position with status. Although it's more capitalistic that we can sometimes buy it if we have enough money. So, remember too that we're approaching these parables from the preterist position, and we'll see even more here shortly, but it's directly dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews, the apostate Jews who are basically going to suffer the judgment of God and the destruction of Jerusalem. And that's the context in which Jesus speaks these parables. But even though we're interpreting in that kind of a context, there's still eternal principles that apply to all of us, regardless of what age we live in or what society we live in. But I think the bottom line of this particular parable is that all of us have a little seed in us whereby it wants to sprout into godhood. We all would like to share in the godhood. If you've been coming to Sunday school class, Mr. Tripp said we all would like to become the fourth person of the Trinity. And I would suggest it's worse than that. That we'd all like to become the first person of the Trinity. The fourth is probably not high enough for us. All of us like attention. All of us like to have a little bit of the sharing of the Godhead in some degree if we can get it. And it's called pride. And that's what we're going to look at here shortly. But first of all, I want you to just, as I mentioned here in verse 7, it says that Jesus noticed. And if you go back to verse 1, it says there it happened that he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, and they were watching him closely. So can you imagine that situation? Everybody's watching everybody. Everybody's watching for any false move. I don't think I could be comfortable eating in somebody's house like that. Everybody's watching you to see if you make a mistake. Jesus is watching them, and they're watching Jesus. I don't know if they're eating or not. They're just watching each other. to see if somebody makes a mistake, a false move, and if they are, they're going to pounce on them. That's the situation that we're in. So everybody is watching everybody. And what Jesus noticed was that they were picking out the places of honor, going to the front of the line. And when I read that, the first thing I thought of were the disciples who competed for the front of the line. Remember that in Matthew 18, the first few verses there. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." But the question was, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, here are the 12 disciples arguing over who is the greatest of them all. Who's the best? Who's going to be the most famous? Who's going to have first place? There's a little bit of the desire to be God in all of us. And so Jesus, in verse 8, begins the parable. And basically what he says, it says, when you go somewhere where there's a seating arrangement of honor, don't go to the front of the line. Don't take the front seat. Be humble. Consider others more important than yourselves. Because someone who deserves more honor than you do may come in, and the host is going to have to stand you up. You know, you're sitting there. Would you stand up, please? You know, the wedding hadn't started. And he said, would you move back here and let this man sit in the front seat? And everybody else is watching. Everybody else is watching. You took a front seat, but you don't deserve it. It's public. And he says in verse 9 there that it's a disgrace. It will be a disgrace. He who invited you will come and say to you, "Give your place to this man." And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy not the second place or the third place or the fourth place, but the last place. He's going to move you to the back, totally to the back. I think when I was in high school, we used to have lines in the cafeteria. And you know, if you got in trouble, if you were in the front of the line, the teacher always came to you and pulled you by the ear to the back of the line. I mean, you didn't say a thing. When they grabbed you by the ear, that was it. To the back. The very back. Very back position. So everybody's going to be watching. You'll be moved to the last seat, and it will be a humiliating experience. And then he says, let me advise you something. Verse 10. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place. The very last, not the second or the third or the fourth, but always sit in the last place, so that when the one invites you, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. Now, he'll move you up front. Again, it'd be like going to a wedding, maybe reception. There's a table up front for the wedding party. And you're a fifth cousin and nobody knows you, and you go in and you sit at the head table. And what are they going to do? They're going to say, "Go get that guy, move him to the back." Okay? That's disgraceful. Maybe you think you belong up there. Jesus says it's a lot better if you sit at the back, get the very back seat, and they come and say, "You know what? You belong up front. You belong at the head table." And he'll move you, and everybody will see it, and it will be an honor for you to be moved up to the front. My friend, move up higher. Everybody's watching. And then Jesus concludes there with an eternal truth that cuts across all cultures and all generations. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You can count on that. That's going to happen. If you put yourself up front and think that you deserve the best, then you'll be put in the back. Christ says, go to the back of the line. If you put yourself in the back and you think, you know what, I don't deserve to be up there with that party, He will exalt you. Now, the greatest example we have of that is Christ Himself, isn't it? In the book of Philippians chapter 2, we're taught there of humility of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Where Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility in mind regard another as more important than yourselves. And do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, which was, in a sense, humiliation, almost humiliation, humbleness anyway, on his part. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him. Because Jesus humbled Himself, God exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and up under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the perfect example of a man who humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, he gave himself the last place, God exalted him to where every name under heaven will bow before him. And so that's not only a reference to the atonement and the death of Christ, but it's also a moral lesson there. If I can speak of morality, I don't want to speak of morality apart from the death of Christ, but certainly there's a lesson there for all of us that if we humble ourselves, if we consider ourselves as nothing, then God will exalt you at the proper time. He will move you up. So, don't go to the front of the line. Christ is our perfect example. Matthew Henry says, the way to rise high is to begin low. The way to rise high is to begin low. I don't know what it's like today, but 10, 15 years ago, young people coming out of college thought they should have a management position. You know, I got a college degree. I think I ought to have a nice office with a big chair like Pastor Ball's office in here, you know, a big office and all these books around me. After all, I've got a college degree. And the shock is coming because you don't start at the top. You start at the bottom, right? And you work your way up to the top. And if you work hard and you show humility, then the time will come when you will be certainly a person with honor and respect and authority. We had a joke in our family for years. I guess it still is a joke. One of my sisters, who really was very intelligent, but she just never thought it was important to show her intelligence,
You might remember years ago, this was back in the, 50s and 60s, maybe 50s, when you went to school, in the public schools, they had different classes. I don't know if they have those today or not, but it was publicly known. They had, like if you're in the ninth grade, they had class 9A, 9B, 9C, 9D, and I had a big school, it was 9E and 9F. And they put you in those classes according to your abilities. So if you were smart, they put you in 9A. If you weren't so smart, they put you in, if you were average, they put you in 9C. If you were, what's the word? Not dumb, that's not proper, that's not politically correct. But if you were dumb, they put you in 9F. And everybody knew what you were in. I mean, in those days, nobody seemed to care. You know, they'd say, well, what class are you in? The guy says, 9D. Okay. Well, you're not very smart, are you? And my sister, somebody asked her what class she was in, and I think she was in 9F, you know, the dumbest class. But she said, you know, I'm the smartest one in the dumbest class. And we still joke about that today. When I see her, I said, you know, you were the smartest one in the dumbest class. Actually, she went on and got a college degree, and she really had a lot of intelligence. She just didn't use it. I've got a friend who works for who's retired from TVA, and he and I talk a lot on the telephone. And he was telling me of a lot of young engineers that come out of college to work for TVA. And this is years ago. I don't know. Maybe things have changed today. But years ago, a young engineer graduated out of college and get a job at TVA, and you know, he expected to be in a high position pretty quickly. You know, he expected to be kind of boss maybe the second month on the job. And my friend, who had been there for 30 some years, it's what he always told him this. So what he always said, it's one of his famous words. He says, son, you're soon going to learn that not everybody thinks you are as wonderful as your mother thinks. Not everybody thinks you're as wonderful as mommy thinks you are. And he was, you know, that's just what he took him aside, and that's what he told him. Humility. It's always good to start out with humility, no matter where you are, where you go. Take a back seat, keep your mouth shut, and if people recognize something in you, they'll move you up front. Even in the early church, there was, even in the church, converted Christians, there was this problem in the book of James, and you're familiar with that. The book of James, chapter 2, they still had this this issue where they had respect of persons and front seats, back seats, and who sits in the front seats and who sits in the back seats. James chapter 2, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and you say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there and sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? And so, you know, this idea of positions and pride and respect of persons is just contrary to the Word of God. The book of Proverbs, let me just conclude with a few Proverbs, warns about pride. I guess pride is one of the seven deadly sins, is what they call in history, I guess. But the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. God hates pride, and God hates arrogance. Now, you may very well be deserving of honor, But don't raise your hand. Let somebody else raise your hand. Okay? Let somebody else raise your hand. Because God hates arrogance. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. As soon as you make yourself out to be somebody who you think is wonderful, you're going to fall. You know, it's just like driving a motorcycle and everybody's watching you and you're just running down the road in that motorcycle and all of a sudden you end up on the side of the road, wrecked, turning it over. And everybody's kind of laughing at you. You know what I mean? When you put yourself up high and you like everybody watching you, what happens? Bang. You're humbled. Proverbs 25:6-7. Proverbs 25:6-7. Do not claim honor in the presence of a king, and do not stand in the place of great men. For it is better that it be said to you, come up here, than for you to be placed lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Jesus probably was using that as the proverb, as from what he took his teaching there in the parable. Don't go to the head place. Don't go in the big place. Go to the back of the line and let them tell you, come on up here. You deserve better than that. That's just words of wisdom. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Isn't that kind of just the irony of life? You put yourself up here, you end up down there. You put yourself down there, you end up here. That's just the way it goes. That's the way it works in God's world. And finally, in 1 John 2:15-16, where John talks about the ways of the world, he calls the boastful pride of life one of the three sins of the ways of the world. Then finally, Jesus makes another application. We'll conclude with that in our text in chapter 14. He makes one application, kind of interesting there. And I think sometimes it's misinterpreted, but Luke chapter, 14, in verse 12, and he also went on to say, the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers, or your relatives, or rich, or neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, Jesus is not here talking about hospitality and entertaining of friends. We're not talking about that. I think what Jesus is talking about is being at a meal where everybody is ready to jump on everybody. And everybody's full of pride. And we're all there because thinking that, well, I've invited them, maybe they'll invite me back. If a dinner is such full of prideful mess, it's better to invite the poor, the lame, and the blind because you don't have to worry about pride. You don't have to worry about people jumping on you. You don't have to worry about people catching you. Because they're hungry, they just want to eat. And they're thankful to have something to eat. So he's not talking about the receptions for weddings and getting together as friends and Christians. That's not the issue. What he's talking about here is being at a meal where everybody thinks they're the one most wonderful person there. And I think rather than go to that kind of a place to eat, I'd rather go to the Salvation Army and eat, wouldn't you? I'd feel a lot more comfortable eating at the Salvation Army than at a place like that, where everybody's full of pride and arrogance. You don't have to worry at the Salvation Army, some of you served down there, you don't have to worry too much about pride. Not much pride. So remember that. I think that's the point here. Rather than eating at, and it's not wrong to have a nice reception and a nice table and all that, that's fine. That's good. That's not what he's talking about. It's not wrong to have friends and entertain other people to the church. That's a good thing. But if you're going to have to go into an honor fest of people who simply are competing for first place, just go down to the Salvation Army and you won't have to worry about all that. You won't have to worry about all that. Okay? Those are the words of Christ, I think, words of wisdom. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to not be prideful people. Help us to learn to take the back seat. Help us to be humble. Help us to not raise our hands as if we know everything and we're number one and we deserve the first place. Help us to remember that he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Help us to be reminded of Christ, that even though he was the second person of the Trinity, in heaven itself, he humbled himself and became a man and gave his life. And now he sits on the throne where all men will bow and all tongues will confess. Lord, help us to learn humility, and we'll get along much better in the church with one another. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.